Hey, this is WTOP's Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by, just say your name and your role in the show.
Yes, my name is Ashley Johnson Moore, and I play Oda Mae Brown.
A role made Oscar-winning famous by Whoopi Goldberg in the 1990 movie. We can get to all that in a second, but we want to tell everyone off the top that it's Ghost the Musical is going to be at Toby's Dinner Theater in Columbia, Maryland. It'll be running August 26th. Through November 6th. So it kicks off here. What is the 26th? Next Friday. Awesome. Well, tell me, give us the basic premise of the show. If somehow maybe a younger listener or something, hard to believe, but if they never saw Ghost, give them the basic, you know, premise of this, you know, Beyond the Grave comedy.
Yeah. So Ghost the Musical, it's a beautiful romantic love story. It's timeless. It's a bit fantasy, and it has so much hope, so much love. So it's about a young couple. One of the main characters, the young couple, one of the people is unfortunately killed. And my character, she is like a psychic. She can hear spirits from the beyond. And he has a message, the person who was killed has a message that he wants to get to, you know, his lover, his friend, just about, you know, the story of him, his passing and why. And so I play a medium, basically, who, you know, goes between them to talk about his you know, his dying, and not just him dying, but his love for her. So sometimes we have loved ones who've passed on, who we don't get a chance to say goodbye to, but even though he passed on, he still has work to do, and he just wants to be able to say, not only did I die, but I love you.
Oh, and that's
the basic premise of the story.
Oh yeah. And it's, it was a really genius idea. And, you know, and the screenplay originally, and it was 1990, and I'll remember, I was probably only like 6 years old, but I'll never forget sitting in the living room. It made an impression watching it. You know, we probably rented it on VHS or whatever, or maybe might've even aired it on TV. And, just come on. There's like few movies can talk about, you know, love transcending into eternity while at the same time being like a mystery thriller and also a hilarious comedy with Whoopi Goldberg stuff. Like it hit all of the buttons, which is why it was so beloved. But do you remember when you first saw it?
So interestingly enough, when it came out, I was only 4. So I don't have memory of watching it as a child. It wasn't until I became an adult when, you know, I guess my parents thought I could watch the movie, just because, you know, it has kind of like some love scenes and such. I kind of grew up in a bit of a stricter Christian household.
You can't really watch pottery stuff.
Yes, like pop and, you know, like, you know, the popular culture of movies and such wasn't really something that we were able to watch. Like even The Color Purple, you know, that Whoopi Goldberg also, you know, starred in, I wasn't even able to watch that as a child. So, but, you know, as an adult, I was able to watch, you know, read the book and watch the movie. But anyway, so for Ghost, it wasn't until maybe about 5 years ago where I really saw it.
Cool.
Yeah. So that's really my.
And tell me your impression then as an adult. So you and I had a completely different experience, because I was terrified by the, you know, the ghost on the subway train and all, like ghost waving at him at the cemetery. Like all that stuff freaked me out as I was probably too young to watch it. But talk about experiencing it as an adult. Were you able to appreciate it on a different level, probably?
Yes. So I was able to appreciate so many things about watching the movie. It's so funny. If you were to watch it like today, when you kind of look at the cinematography of it, you can tell it's kind of, you're just like, things are so different now, based off of just how it looks, just I'm trying to think of the best way to
and
say
the
it.
Little, the little shadow goblins that drag them away, etc. But probably groundbreaking at the time.
yes. Groundbreaking at the time. I think that's why a lot of I think the movie was offered to a couple different directors, and they actually turned down the script But like, I guess watching it back, back then, just a few years ago, I was able to appreciate the love story, and I was in it. It's such a complicated script, and a complicated movie because, and this is what I love about Whoopi Goldberg's brilliance. The way she is able to talk to Molly, who is the main character, but then also Patrick Swayze's character, when she's able to talk to him, like you can actually see the difference of when she's looking at them. Like, not just like, she doesn't really change like her tone, but just her, like her, what she sees. You can see that she can hear him, but she can't see him. And right. Even though in, you know, watching at night, you know, it's from 1990, he's standing right there. She's like, it's almost like she's looking through him.
Right.
So
right,
I appreciate, as an adult, I appreciate the brilliance of her acting.
Like, yeah, her, what, him driving her nuts, singing, I'm Henry yes. VIII. She's like, I can't sleep.
Yes. Yes. And it like, even one thing I definitely picked up is, you know, the famous bank scene.
Oh, yeah. Well, she like grits her teeth and she's like, I'm trying to do this.
Yes. Yes. So when she's like, you know, looking, when he's standing right next to her and she kind of like scans the room, she like looks past him, even though he's right there.
That's
genius. And I've been acting. Like, just pick. Yes. I've just really been picking up on. But I guess the first, you know, me watching it as an adult, like that's not something I would have picked up on as a child, was like the brilliance of everyone's acting. But as an adult, that's something I've been able to appreciate.
Yeah, signing the wrong name and everything and having to
yes. scribble it out. That's but, my favorite.
To your point, you can't articulate it when you watch it younger, but it's still like subconsciously those acting choices work on us and they draw us in. You know, we just get sucked into the movie and we believe it. So it yes. works. We're picking up on it. We just don't realize we are. And then when yes. you're an adult, like you're watching it, then you're noticing the acting choices. Well, especially you as an actor yourself. So, yes. I mean, that Otome Brown, deserving of the Oscar, Whoopi just crushed it.
Absolutely.
And absolutely. We're talking a lot about Whoopi, but I wanted to mention her because this is your second time playing a Whoopi role, right, at Toby's, because weren't you a Helen Hayes nominee for Sister Act recently, too?
Yes, I was. And I'm a huge, huge Whoopi Goldberg fan. Just everything that she's accomplished, especially as a, you know, a woman, a Black woman. And just, I've always appreciated her like unconventional beauty. You know, she's not like the typical norm of what you would see on like, Elle magazine or, you know, Vanity Fair, like just certain, you know, they have like this standard of beauty that, you know, has been made popular just, you know. And I feel like I love how, even though, you know, Whoopi as a, you know, like a brown skin woman like myself, has still been able to break through and find mentors who could coach her, not just her acting, but like her comedy that she, you know, has given the world, her life. You know, she's just such a beautiful, beautiful person. So, yes, and Sister Act, she was hilarious. She was so hilarious. So trying for me, playing two roles that Whoopi Goldberg has, you know, created and made, you know, extremely, you know, beyond dreams, beyond the world of, you know, famous. I've really tried to, of course, you make it your own, but you also still stay true to, you know, certain things that, she's done and certain things she's tried to portray. So even though there are some things in both shows that I've made my own, I still, certain things that I do, you know, in this show as well as the last, I pay homage to Whoopi Goldberg.
That's great. Yeah, it's big shoes to fill, but mm-hmm. But also, you know, that's a great problem to have.
Yes. Great.
Well, and you also did the Whitney Houston role when Toby's did the Bodyguard. So they tap you a lot to play these powerful roles here. Real quick, I just wanted to remind, we were talking about how, you know, it was not her, her performance won the Oscar, but I also need to mention that the script won the Oscar too. It was yeah. written. I don't know if you ever saw, if you've never seen Jacob's Ladder, that is freaky too, but
it's I did. Like, a, I oh, have, yeah. All right. Actually. So, yes.
So it makes total sense that the writer of Ghost wrote Jacob's Ladder, which is yes. like another thriller beyond the grave thing. But the director was a comedy director, Jerry Zucker, yes. who was one of the co-directors of Airplane and all those Leslie Nielsen stuff. So yeah. like it's you got comedy and like mystery thriller people combining mm-hmm. for this. Mm-hmm. And I assume the Toby's version is just as, you know, mysterious and romantic and funny. But the element of Toby's we need to talk about is that it is a musical. Now we all remember, yeah. you know, we all remember Unchained Melody in the movie, but mm-hmm. does that make an appearance here, or is it more, I guess it's more original, a whole songbook, right?
Well, I will say the script is very true to the movie. Like they are almost identical. And even, you know, so on our side, you know, it's starring Mary-Kate Brie and Patrick Gover. And
they're Sam and Molly.
Yes, yes. And their voices are so beautiful and haunting. I'm telling you, I think everyone's going to cry from this show, but not just cry out of sadness, but cry out of beauty. I'm trying to think of the "Oh My Love," that song that plays in the movie, you know, on the record player.
Yeah.
Patrick
Righteous Brothers.
Yeah. So our Patrick, you know, not Patrick Swayze, of course, but Patrick Gover, he sings it in the play. Wow. And when I say it's one of the most beautiful scenes that you'll ever see on stage, you know, so yes, it's, you know, it does have some original music. So we also have DeCarlo Raspberry, who plays he's actually the guy who's like in the emergency room. And he sings a song basically when, you know, Patrick's character passes away, and it's a showstopper. Like it's a showstopper. And then the Unchained melody, it's a rap in our show.
Really?
For the script. It's yes, it's a rap. The guy in our cast, his name is Taylor, and I ended up actually having to ask him after one of the rehearsals, because he is so incredible. He's so scary, so exciting. He brings so much energy to it. I was just like, so tell me, did your character actually kill himself, or was he pushed?
Oh, wow. Wait, so this is the subway guy?
The subway guy.
Yeah. Right. Oh, God, yes, he's so scary in the movie. I'm sure at Toby's, you're saying he's just as scary.
Oh, my gosh. Just as scary, just as exciting. But it really leaves you wondering, the same way in the movie. It really leaves you wondering, did he kill himself or was he pushed?
That's like, cool. That's cool that you've opened that up and explored that a little bit more. That's a really cool idea. Wow. So he might have jumped in front of the subway train that he's saying off of my train. Ah, I'm getting goosebumps again.
Right.
All right, cool. Well, you know, we've talked a lot about it, you know, originating as a movie, but I do want to fill in the gap, but that in between the movie and your version of Toby's, it was a musical. Like, tell them about, you know, how it was. Was it Broadway? Or I guess it started West End, probably.
Ooh. So, as much research as I've done, I actually don't know the answer to that. I would have to call.
I'll pull
Mark
it up right here. All right. So it was on West
Incredible
End.
Incredible director.
Hang on.
Yes.
I'll pull it up for you. It premiered at the Manchester Opera House in Manchester in 2011. Then it was on West End in 2011 again. And then Broadway got it in 2012. So, all right, here we go. We're on the 10th anniversary of Broadway. Cool.
Yes. So I've seen and heard both versions of it. Like there's a larger cast recording, of course. But then there's actually a small cast recording, which are very similar, but so we're doing the smaller cast version, of course, you know, post COVID and such, but it still has that same brilliance as if it, in the sound and effects, as if it were the large cast recording, the one that was on Broadway. So we're doing a much smaller version of it, but it's still very true to the script.
Awesome. So you mentioned, obviously you mentioned that your actor actually sings Unchained Melody in this one, as opposed to the record player. And you mentioned that you also said that it is rapped later in the show too, right? What are some of your other favorite songs in the songbook? Do you want to highlight, you know, one or two other ones that we can look out for?
Absolutely. So Mary Kate Brie, who plays Molly, she sings this song, You. It's like right after the Patrick's character passes away. And she sings this song called You, and it just kind of starts off with this sadness. And what's so beautiful about the song is it's the movie script, where she's just like, you took my heart, you know, you took my love with you. And, you know, I picked up your shirts this morning. You know, he says to say hello, you know, they were able to adapt the script into a song. And just to see the passion behind Mary Kate singing this solo from beginning to end, how it builds. And this is the first show that I've done where we don't have like a drummer, you know, your regular drummer, or like an electric bass guitar. You know, so for this show, you know, there's an upright guitar, there is like a cello, a violinist. So with all of those elements, it just really takes it to another level. It's not just, you know, like your standard like pop show or, you know, rock show. It's like a symphony. And we have Ross Scott Rawlings, who is the musical director. I was talking to someone, Ross, the beauty of Ross's playing and his directing is it feels like a duet. So whenever I sing with Ross's playing, I feel like it's a duet. It's not Ashley singing and Ross is playing, or Ross is playing and Ashley singing, or one has to catch up with the other. It's really just this duet with every song that he plays in the show. It's almost like a dance that you do with Ross. And I feel like that's one of that song that Mary Kate sings is one of the most beautiful songs in the show. And the last scene in the show, we don't sing it, but you know, when he has to pass on, when it's time for him to go, I think Mary Kate and I have cried every single rehearsal doing that last scene. No, we don't sing it, but Ross has music that he plays underneath the scene, and it's just like I could cry right now about how beautiful it is. I truly don't believe there's going to be a dry eye in the theater.
Oh, thanks for mentioning that final transcendent passing on scene with the music and everything, because yeah, I've always felt that, you know, the Righteous Brothers singing Unchained Melody obviously is iconic and one of the most beautiful love songs ever, but that to me, I always thought the underrated, most powerful part was when it's like the instrumental version of that same Unchained Melody, but it's the instrumental version. I guess Maurice Jarre, I think, was the composer. The guy, guy that did Lawrence of Arabia. I'm getting in the weeds now. But anyway, the instrumental part is what makes you in tears during the end credits. Cool. Well, I guess the final element we haven't discussed is, tell me about, you know, visually how it, you know, what are we seeing in terms of set and costumes? Is there anything you all do to try to set apart, like, you know, the mortal versus the immortal characters on stage, either with costumes or lighting or anything like that?
Yes. So the cool thing is, obviously this movie, the movie takes place in 1990, but we are kind of sticking to the now of 2022. So I don't have to wear a wig for the show. I wear my natural hair. Right. So everything is 2022. However, the costumes, like my costumes, like the bank costume, you know, it's going to be pink to, you know, just kind of reference the movie. And even when she wears that like big gold getup, it's not what's in the movie, but it's 2022. But we're still using the same color palette, same color schemes. And I think as far as lighting, there are some, since we know he's there, right? Like we know the character is there, he's passed away. There is going to be like small lighting things, but I think it's more of like the actors, like when they play the song, when there's a song in it, there's a subway song that's sung. All the people in the subway song have passed over. It's really going to be, it's really believable based off of their acting and their movement, not necessarily like, you know, like a smoke machine.
Right.
It's something that everybody's going to pick up on. It's not like, are they dead or are they not? You'll be able to tell by the acting. And I think when the actors, you know, the bad guys, and I'm doing air quotes, when they are killed or when they die, and I feel like I'm telling the entire story,
sorry.
But you know, but it's not like these, there aren't like shadows that drag them to hell.
Right.
It's all in their body movement where you will see like where they're going. I'll say that. And then, but there is, you know, for, you know, those who are passing over, and shall we say going to heaven, there is a brighter light that you will see. David Hopkins, our lighting designer, he's, you know, there are just some kind of things he's going to kind of play around with that you'll see, but a lot of it is sold by, you know, the actors that are all in the show.
Sounds great. Well, we appreciate you joining us. We went really in depth, but it's totally fine because, you know, hopefully it's just, you know, a teaser for people to go out to see it. They're, after listening to this, they're going to have to race out to Toby's.
Yes.
Watch Ghost, the musical. It's running August 26th through November 6th.
Yes.
See all the great characters, Sam, Molly, Oda Mae Brown saying iconic lines like, Molly, you're in danger, girl, and all that.
Oh, man.
That's one of the best parts. He's like, Molly, yeah, you're in danger. She's like, you can't say it like that.
Yeah. Danger, blurt girl. It out like that. Tweak. I'll tell her in my own way. Yes. Like, yes.
Add one more line in the delivery and it's gold.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for doing this. If you can't tell, I'm a huge fan of the movie. So we're excited to have everyone go see it at Toby's.
Awesome. Thank you so much for your time this morning. Have a great day.
You too. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.